The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. We're on Man in Line today. Call 66 13 68. It's an open line through till 1 o'clock today, so whatever's on your mind. And certainly this common travel area thing has been exercising people's thoughts from Thursday, 23rd of April, that being, what, a week on Thursday. People travelling to the Isle of Man for visits of up to 6 months and who don't hold a valid visa will require an ETA, an electronic travel authorisation. Now, it's linked to the passport. An ETA is £20, lasts up to 2 years. Who gets the money from this, I wonder? There's been a requirement for travel to the UK from outside the common travel area since the 25th of February. The Isle of Man scheme mirrors that of the UK. What's the point of them? The Treasury has responsibility for immigration and, well, this is going to be absolute fun on a stick, isn't it, as we go into TT. £20 if you're outside the common travel. The common travel area, by the way, is the UK, Ireland, Guernsey, Jersey and the Isle of Man. So anybody from outside there is going to have to shell out £20. In fact, every person is going to have to shell out £20. Wow. Right, let's get to the phones, whatever's on your mind. Andrew's first with us today. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy, and listeners. Here's something which maybe somebody else can come on and verify. But very first thing this morning, I was passed the message from a colleague who'd just been advised by a regular bus driver that on Wednesday, the drivers will vote to accept what has been offered. They have been advised to accept by Unite UK and Unite IOM. So I'll leave that hanging there, and maybe somebody can come on and say, is this so?
Right.
And just on the ETA, I was going to, that's not why I was calling, but also the fact that there are persons living here who have indefinite leave to remain status, which is just by a paper letter.
Yeah.
And this is not in the gigantic Schengen computer system, so that when you come to travel back, as somebody very close to me I know did recently from Romania, at the Wizz Air gate was refused boarding on the plane. Why? She shouldn't have to have an ETA because she has indefinite leave to remain.
Right.
And she was virtually being bullied and forced to get an ETA. And she did stand her ground and say, no, I've got indefinite leave to remain. And they had to get some supervisor to come. And she was then the last person to board whilst they did something manually to let her board.
I was going
to say, it's not.
How close was this lady to being bounced off the plane, Andrew?
Very close. She was the last person to board. And everything was there ready to go. Until they got somebody, they managed to do a fix, shall we say,
right,
in the computer, because she was standing her ground and she showed them the paper, indefinite leave to remain letter. But I mean, you know, it could be typed up by anybody, that, to be honest. It's nothing that's digital computerized,
right,
from the system here into the EU Schengen computer.
Well, that's
and
a lot.
So
that's
government here needs to sort it out.
Andrew, there's a lot of people on the Isle of Man who, as you say, have got indefinite leave to stay here. The biggest ethnic minority, I think, is South Africans. So a lot of South Africans who may be coming back to the Isle of Man will have problems in the future if this is the case.
Well, I mean, if you're forced to get an ETA, the immigration office here cannot answer what would happen if you're forced at some foreign airport to get an ETA. If you come here It's supposedly for 6 months. What happens after 6 months? Is some computer going to force somebody to come and knock on your door and arrest you for overstaying? Or if you travel away again and then went to come back, is the computer going to say, no, you overstayed last time, you're not now allowed in because you've got an ETA when you didn't in fact need one? So is it Chris Thomas?
I think it's
Chris Thomas. Please, Chris, can you do something about this? This is a matter of concern. Do something before the next election.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Andrew. Text, email, call and WhatsApp this whole thing regarding the ETA, this electronic travel authorization. Again, it's one of these things, for the vast majority of people, it's not that much of an issue. But for quite a number of people, it's a big problem. A big problem. Julian's on with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. The sun's out.
What a lovely day.
Yeah, I bet you've got a good view up there.
Well, I've got a good view of the computer screens.
Oh, right, OK. Yeah. ETA thing, yeah, it's kind of interesting, that, isn't it? I think before they implement these things, they should make sure that everything's integrated. It makes sense, wouldn't it? A very interesting perspective programme yesterday. You had a couple of members of GARF commissioners and a couple of GARF residents. I also noticed the petition against More Vanning has passed 5,500 votes. So it's getting pretty big, that, isn't it, Andy?
Well, I listened to that programme, as you probably did, with great interest, just to hear what people had to say. And the most interesting point of call, of course, is politicians not being allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. And also, speaking of kind of not talking about it, the local authorities weren't invited to attend Ørsted's consultation meetings, which is a bit odd when you think about it. Phil Gorn, by the way, when he started the programme, he said that More Vanning wind turbines would be 80 stories high. They'll be around 110 stories high. So that's 10 stories higher than the Shard in London, or 140 feet taller than the Eiffel Tower, and there's going to be 87 of them. So, you know, 350 metres is gigantic. It's absolutely enormous. I mean, you know, when you're thinking, you know, that's a significantly taller than the Shard, and 87 of them, of course. Phil also said that many people think renewables are a good idea. Now, in my experience, I haven't seen any evidence of this, either at the More Vanning GARF meeting, that happened a while ago, public statements at the MEMA hearings that I attended, and if you go with the Cairvi onshore wind facility, meetings at Arbury Parish Hall, Russian Primary School, or the Cairvi roadshows, everyone was against it. So I'd love to know who these people are that think it's a great idea.
Well, presumably the people who don't bother turning up, the people who are for it, just probably think, well, it's going to happen anyway, so I don't need to show up.
Well, More Vanning did an online consultation, and that indicated that 75% of respondents are against More Vanning. So, again, there's another one. I don't know.
How tall do you say these the Ørsted wind turbines are going to be? How tall are they?
1,200 feet. So they're just coming up on the highest point of the mountain road high.
Right.
So if, let's say, for example, you're just coming over the crest going towards Ramsey, going down towards the Mountain Mile, they're going to be eye level with you. That's pretty high.
Well, that's, I think, also, by, if memory serves me correctly, Snaefell is, what, 2,000 feet tall? So that's about half as big as Snaefell.
Well, yeah, I mean, 1,200, so that'd be 2,400, so it's significantly more than halfway up Snaefell. One of the commissioners mentioned something that is interesting. To get 360-degree visibility of the navigation lights, they have to have three of them pointing about 120 degrees. To, you know, the nacelle and the blades can block the lights and that for aviation. So you're going to have 261 blinking red lights against our dark skies.
What's interesting is we haven't heard anything from the astronomy community. You would have thought, as we trumpet dark skies in a big way, and dark skies is big for our tourism, astronomy tourism, there aren't many places in around that do have the dark skies that we have. So, as you say, that many red lights twinkling away in the night would fairly well, I mean, surely that would compromise dark skies on the east coast of the Isle of Man.
Yeah, and if you think the Cairv Eyewon at Eyrie Stain, they're going to start off at 800-900 feet above sea level to start with, and they're going to be over 650 feet high. So I'd imagine that Foxtail will be able to see those navigation lights as well, looking towards the west and the southwest.
Yeah. But the thing is, Julian, it's fairly well established now. I mean, there are thousands of wind farms right around the world. They're being built all the time now. So it's just one of the... I mean, I would imagine years ago, some people didn't like the Laxey Wheel being built because it spoilt the Laxey Valley. They probably didn't like the Foxdale Mines when they were sunk because it ruined the landscape up there. This is an industrial... It's an industrial operation that's going to be off our coast, isn't it?
Mm, but, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Laxey Wheel because if you were to stack 17 of them on top of each other... and then put 87 of those stacked loads of them out to sea, that's what you're going to see. So, you know, this is 17 Laxey Wheels stacked on top of each other, and there's 87 of them. That's, I mean, can you imagine what that looks like? It's unprecedented because, of course, these things are usually well over the horizon,
yeah,
like Dogger Bank or these things, and these things are going to be close.
Well, I think
really
that's
close.
The key, that this is, what, six or eight miles across, offshore they're going to be?
Yeah, in that region, because
yeah,
it will have to be within the 12 miles. So,
yeah.
But the specification on the scoping report saying from 6 miles out. So, but I don't think people realise how big these things. I mean, you know, six times the sweep of the ones that you see going on the boat, twice as tall. I mean, that's big. I mean, imagine what that's going to look like. I mean, I don't know. And of course, as somebody mentioned in that program yesterday, once that's in, there's nothing stopping them going for Peel or off Langness. You know, we'll end up surrounded with the blooming things once they've got their foot in the door.
Well, I mean, that may or may not be the case. I mean, purely it's on the east coast of the Isle of Man because that's closest to get the electricity back to Preston or wherever it's going. So, I mean, sticking one on the west coast of the Isle of Man, there's nowhere anywhere near to get... They'd have to run a cable right round the Isle of Man or send it over to Northern Ireland to do that, wouldn't they?
Hmm. And speaking of cabling, I mean, it became apparent at the Morvanin consenting MEMA meetings that there's going to be 200 miles of trenching the seabed for the cabling, you know, in the array to join all these things together. That's going to do some damage to all the fishing grounds and everything. It's just, can you imagine 200 miles of cabling? It's just, and then you've got 17 shipping routes to go through there. And apparently, Stenner admitted that Ørsted has approached them for some sort of financial arrangement, but no approach to the steam packet, which is interesting as well.
Where did you hear about the Stenner thing?
At the meeting, at the Morvanin consenting meeting, there was
Yeah. Well, I don't speak for Ørsted, and I can't say this is for them, but I would imagine, I don't want to paraphrase, that if you want the executive summary, you can't bake an omelette without breaking eggs. And that's what we're going to have to do. If you're going to have renewable electricity coming from these huge wind turbines, then there will be some, if not a lot, of disruption. And that's really part of the price that perhaps we're going to have to pay, Julian.
But if planning is weighing up whether to do it or not, why is there massive adverts for it plastered all across Ronald's Way Airport? You know, it's kind of strange that there's this pushing of it right in your face when you arrive or departing the airport.
Right.
Yet there's no decision done on this yet. It's kind of strange.
Well, I mean, let's face it. It is Ørsted's business, so let's expect a company that is in business to promote its business. There's nothing unethical about that. That's what they're promoting their business, Julian.
Yeah. I mean, just a final point also, which I find, at the Morvanin meetings, you had 12 people brought in, experts, including two lawyers, but there didn't seem to be any kind of legal representation on the other side with DEFRA and the DOI. And also... it was mentioned on the programme yesterday that some MHKs have written back to some of the residents and said it would have been great if you told me all these issues before the planning application went in. Which begs the question, what are the civil servants and the consultants doing then? You know, it's kind of a strange... Don't they listen to the man in line? I mean, how long have you and I been talking about this? It's a long time now, isn't it?
Forever, it seems like.
It does, actually, doesn't it, Andy?
All right. OK, Julian, good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
21 minutes past 12. David's with us now. Hi, David. Don't say we've got a blighted line. Let me find Betty now. Hi, Betty.
Oh, hi. I just want to ask a question, Andy.
Yeah.
How do you vote against these... wind farms, how do we vote against them?
Well, you can't vote against them. I mean, it's going to a planning process and
apparently 5,000 people have said that they were against them. So how can I say?
Oh, well, they've signed a petition. Presumably there's an online petition going on. So
that's what I wanted to know.
Right.
It's a one online.
Okay.
And is it a government petition? How do I get into it?
I'll find out for you. If somebody can get in touch and tell me about this, then I'll pass the message on, Betty. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, good to hear from you. Thank you. So from the 23rd of April, people travelling to the Isle of Man for up to visits of up to 6 months who don't hold a valid visa will require an electronic travel authorisation, an ETA, £20, linked to your passport. It lasts for up to 2 years. There's been a requirement for travel to the UK from outside the common travel area since the 25th of April, and the Isle of Man scheme mirrors that of the UK. What's the point of it? Well, Treasury's got responsibility for immigration, so here's the Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas.
An electronic travel authorisation, broadly speaking, is a requirement for all non-visa nationals, with some exceptions, who are coming predominantly to this part of the world, the CTA area, and say that they're coming for the TT, for instance. Mm. Certain types of people will need one of these to get in. And what will happen on the 23rd of April is that the enforcement will happen. We've opened applications for an ETA, £20, children need them. So if you're a British or Irish citizen, the ETA system does not apply to you. If you hold an existing immigration permission, a visa, for instance, and have permission to live, work or study in the common travel area, which is Ireland, the UK, Jersey, Guernsey, Isle of Man, it does not apply to you. If you're travelling between the Isle of Man, UK, Jersey and Guernsey, it does not apply to you. It only applies for individuals of certain nationalities, which a full list can be found online on the very helpful webpage that the Treasury immigration people have put together, giving you permission to travel. It's not a visa, it's not a substitute for getting a visa. You've got to have the right to permission placed, but it's a necessary instrument to give you permission to travel.
What does the ETA replace? What did we have before this went digital, as it were?
So this is the era of ETAs. People who've been to New Zealand from the Isle of Man will have noticed there's now an ETA system. A long time before that, there was a system into the United States. It's a new system that's coming into place in the world. And so basically, there was once a time, 100 years ago, where a little passport was looked at by a sleepy officer. It was absolutely lovely to see it. His Excellency, the Lieutenant Governor, demanded the admission of the person. It's different now. There's all sorts of databases that are interrogated, and this is a new system that's getting more and more prevalent in the world. This is something that the United Kingdom's brought in. It's a United Kingdom system. The United Kingdom are administering it for us, but as part of the common travel area, Jersey, Guernsey and the Isle of Man have to join in the system, and it's a good thing.
Well, there we are. That's £20. Sounds nothing if you say it quickly, doesn't it? 6 weeks today. 6 weeks today, TT starts. Bank holiday Monday 25th of May, 6 weeks today, TT starts. Can you imagine what's going to happen if people coming from outside the common travel area don't know this? Our overseas visitors will have to shell out an extra £20. What are they going to think about this? Is it a tourist tax or something? I know we can say it's the UK's fault, but, well... Ooh, blimey. 6 weeks today, TT starts. Bank holiday Monday, 25th of May. 3 weeks today, it's the early May bank holiday, and the schools will go back a week today, and we've found David. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me, mate?
Loud and clear.
Lovely. I want to talk about pensions, if I can.
Yep.
It's just because we've had a number of civil servants coming on lately and a couple of committees that were had some senior civil servants talking about the future of pensions and the future of benefits and so forth. And just to lay the people down, and when Chris Thomas is on next time, maybe you could ask him, is the ordinary pension for people in the Isle of Man is a benefit under the Social Security Act. There's no pension fund that government runs around like there is for private pension people. It's like a pot that runs around, and local authorities is private as well. So that's well taken care of as I know, because I'm in the local authority pension fund as well, better than the government one. But I just wanted to put out there to people, it is a benefit. So what are our politicians and senior people actually doing to... I know it's going to be like 2044 or whatever, but what are we doing to protect the pot or the benefit we got? Do we just increase it?
Well,
or
that's,
that's
interesting you say that, because they said last week, the guy from the Treasury, didn't he, the civil servant, said it's going to run out in the 2040s. But nobody said, in the meantime, we're going to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world, and that's the way to look at it. Because people keep asking people over an elderly, older age anyway, elderly age or whatever, is, are we worrying them too much at the end of the day? There's always going to be, life is going to be always in the Isle of Man. There's always going to be people living on the Isle of Man. The population may increase, and hopefully we're going to have some turbines somewhere to give us electricity. And by the way, my panels are doing 80% of the battery's 80% full.
Okay.
And I'm producing 3.5 kilowatts.
Okay, all right.
All right, we need Walter Wanning, not Walter Wanningberg, sorry, his brother, John Wanningberg, on from Manx Utilities to tell us how are they treating people who are putting panels on the roof. And is when government are doing it, are they getting any extra treatment?
Interesting.
You know, because at the end of the day, they're going to produce electricity. Okay, it's going back into the power station. But what about the benefit of us? Who's paying for this stuff to be put on?
Hmm.
It's the taxpayers, isn't it? It's not their money.
Okay, all right. Good to hear from you today. Thanks for that.
Bye.
Cheers now. It's 28 minutes past 12.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties. Isle of Pride is an LGBTQ+ charity supporting the island's diverse queer community. We're planning events and training sessions soon and need more volunteers. The charity is managed entirely by volunteers, relying on donations and grants. To get involved or learn more, find us on Facebook or email isleofprideiom@gmail.com. This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
At Ramsey Garden Centre, enjoy exclusive savings and get inspiration for your home or garden. And as stock arrives every week, drop in or follow our Facebook page. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Public Accounts Committee heard from the Treasury Minister and some of his officers last week. During a lengthy session, topics included the structural deficit in government's budget, the sustainability of ever-increasing health spending, government pay, and the triple lock pension guarantee. Listen to some of the highlights of that session on Agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gawn. The Treasury Minister was talking a tough talk on getting public finances under control, but will we see the talk turn into real action?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there, yes, listening to Julian and his various comments on the Perspective programme yesterday. He was asking, who are these people who think renewable energy is a good idea? Strangely enough, one of them is no offshore turbines for Isle of Man. I read from your piece on your website news section, no offshore turbines for Isle of Man has gained more than 5,000 signatures on a petition against Alstead's Morvanion project, which is currently subject to an examination process before being considered by Council of Ministers later this year. The group stresses it's not against renewable energy and recognises the need to move away from fossil fuel, but believes the 87 turbine development is the wrong option for the island. So I think for Julian to make such assertions is, I'll be kind and say misunderstanding.
Okay.
No, there are plenty of people who approve of renewable energy on the island. David Quirk seems to be one of them, seeing as he's generating 3 kilowatts and saving on his electricity bill. So, yes, that's kind of filtering the argument to the way that you would like it to be portrayed.
Well, it's his opinion, isn't it?
Yes, but it's whether you display it as the fact or not. Anyway, going back to the actuality of Moore Vannin and its planning application, yes, they are putting forward the idea of 380 metre, that's 380 metre when the blade's at the top of it's going round, top of the rotor, that's not the pole. The tower itself will be something like 100 metres, 110 metres. Those turbines that they want to have on the site of Moore Vannin. Well, Ørsted are a company that have to make money, and they're going to try and maximise the amount of money that they can wring out of that site. And that means we get the biggest turbines and the biggest output out of it. But they're also political realists. You know, this isn't their first rodeo by a long chalk. And they know it's a question of if you don't ask, you don't get. So what they're doing is that they're saying, we want some very big turbines, thank you very much, so that we have double. It's 1.4 gigawatt, I think they're going for, isn't it? Which is double the actual output that was intended when the wind farms first mooted. So they're asking for that, knowing that they're probably going to get lots of howling and protest about it, and knowing that there's probably no way they're going to get that size of turbine. So, in reality, their thinking will be that we can get something like a 280 metre turbine in there and get something like a gigawatt out of it. And everyone will feel happy because the politicians will be able to stand up and say, we stopped them having really, really big turbines. And Ørsted will say, good, well, actually, we've got an economic unit that's still producing enough money for enough output for us to make money. So I wouldn't go around thinking that those are the turbines that are going to be there. Because I don't think even Ørsted think that those are the turbines that are going to be there.
Interesting you said that, because I got a correspondent called Ross who jotted a note to say, remember, this is the same government that negotiated the Liverpool landing stage, which we still haven't figured out who's going to pay what yet. So trusting the government to negotiate with Ørsted takes a bit of a stretch. Bonzo.
Well, certainly trusting various elements of the government to negotiate with Ørsted takes a bit of a stretch. I can think of some people in the government and some political representatives who should be the people negotiating with Ørsted, who would make damn sure that they got the idea that they weren't going to get everything for four magic beans at a turnip.
Would you care to name them, Bonzo?
I think that would be I wouldn't do so at this time.
Okay.
But there are people in government who have the requisite skills and the requisite background to be able to negotiate robustly. And what is needed is robust. I think I've said before, but I'll just explain again. I think it is a question of having Ørsted in for very much a one-way conversation, and saying that we simply cannot negotiate anymore with Ørsted UK. You know, they've lost credibility and trust. And if we are to negotiate with anyone, then we will negotiate with the Ørsted board itself. So managing director, chairman, etc., can come over here and talk to us with respect as a nation state. And not like some bunch of South Sea Islanders who, as I say, trying to buy things for magic beans and they turn it. I mean, even on the agreement for lease as it stands, they've paid absolutely naff all. The original, I think, payment agreement was for $5 million a year. They haven't even paid $1 million. It's ridiculous. So I think, as a good faith, before we talk to them at all, they owe us about 10 years of 5 million quid. So, you know, write us a cheque for 50 million quid, then we'll talk. But okay. Otherwise, you know, go sling your hook.
Would you like a job on the negotiating team, Bonzo?
I dare say my negotiating style might be deemed to be too robust.
Okay. Appreciate your call, Bonzo. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, then. Cheers. Bye.
24 minutes before one.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
As our loved ones age, they carry not only the memories of the past, but also the uncertainties of the future. Secure tomorrow today, with Man Benham's guidance on enduring powers of attorney and more.
Here at Q-Plas, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Q-Plas supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Q-Plas on Snugborough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Q-Plas.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears? Then there's only one place to call, Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
Road racing returns to the island, and Manx Radio Motorsport is an essential part of it. As the official TT Broadcast Media partner, our live coverage brings every qualifying and race session to the island and the world on air and online. So with airtime, sponsorship and digital advertising options, it's officially your best chance to reach a global motorsports audience. Contact our sales team now on 682 620 or at sales@manxradio.com. Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world.
The
Manx Gaelic, Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Alian Vanin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
22 minutes before one. Frank's with us now. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Andy. How are you going, mate?
Very well, okay. Thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Right, it's just I want an answer from government. There's a buzz going around, and it's come from a very good place, that they're flying in at night time. These people that are coming across to England in small boats. And I believe the government are flying these people in at night and we're getting a selection of them. And it's also very notable, particularly in Douglas. And I'm not talking about working people. I'm on about young people. And it seems to be an awful lot of them have suddenly appeared very quickly. And I want the government to answer, is it true that they're flying them in at night time?
Well, this is pure skeet, this is, though, isn't it, Frank?
Well, it's come from the airport where it's happening, so I don't know.
All right.
That's why I want an answer from government. I'm not against any colour, race or anything. I'm not a racist. I don't mind who they are, but I want to know if they're doing it without us knowing, and they've been like this for a long time. They're quite well known for doing things like this.
All right.
Without you know.
All right. Well, we'll put the question, Frank, and if anybody associated with the airport can tell us if they're running nighttime flights, bringing UK migrants. Not heard that. And obviously, immigration is something that we need on the Isle of Man. We've always needed immigration on the Isle of Man because people leave the Isle of Man. Looking at the evidence, migrants, refugees bring benefits to us as well. Remember, there are thousands, I've just mentioned the South African community on the Isle of Man. We have thousands of South Africans on the Isle of Man. And they bring their labour, their skills, and obviously their money. Now, according to the UK Office for National Statistics and Home Office Analysis, people granted refugee status often move into employment over time, contributing through, obviously, tax, national insurance, and spending in the local economy. But we do have labour shortages on the Isle of Man. A lot of labour skill shortages on the Isle of Man, particularly in health and social care, particularly in hospitality as well, an ongoing issue both in the UK and on the Isle of Man. So we'll see. Frank, I'll certainly put that. That's it's a bit of an accusation to make, but if we can, we'll find out. We'll put the question just to see what's what. Let's get to, I think it's Robert with it. Is it Robert? Oh, it's Wilf. Hi, Wilf. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, Andy. It's just a bit of a short one. I mean, I cannot understand, well, it's just that's not my way of thinking. I cannot understand our government charging people an extra £20 to come here. I mean, all the bikers and all the rest of it, there'd be a hell of a bloody row. But anyway, that's beside the point. This year, wind turbines, they mustn't do it. They mustn't be allowed to do it because it will ruin the Isle of Man. It will drive, well, any potential people that's going to come and live here, they won't want to come here and look at that lot. And all they're going to get out of it is the ground rent. And by taking the ground rent, they're taking, well, places where you can't go with the fishing boats, plus I don't know about the steamers, but they've got to go in between all these things. Anyway, that's beside the point. You were talking on Friday about whoever was had read the most kids.
Yes. Oh, foster children.
Yes. Well, you got up to Mrs. Callow.
Yeah.
Now I don't know. I didn't hear how many it was because
over 100.
I've never found out how many.
Over 100.
Eh?
Over 100.
Right. Is that a record or anything or what?
Don't know. We don't know. But at the time, when I did the programme, crikey, it was 20, 25, 26 years ago I did the programme, and we got her up on
right.
Douglas Head, and yeah, she'd fostered over 100 children.
Well, that's my sister.
Really?
Yes. And she got an MBE for that.
That's right, yes.
From the Queen. So that's about all, Andy. It's just I just can't take it in. I can't take it. Well, all my life I've been surrounded by stupidity, and it's still happening. And especially in the government. So I'm sorry about it, but there it is.
All right. Before you go, then.
Okay.
Before you go, then, Wilf, just tell us what kind of woman was your sister.
Hard woman, big woman, and a very good feeder.
Okay.
They were all well fed, but none of them got fat, except one son she had. He got fat, but none of the kids that was fostered, they never got fat, and a few of them died now, but they people from across who were very fond of her, they've come over to see her and all the rest of it before she died.
Oh.
So that was kind of nice.
And what was her Christian name again?
Callum.
Christian name.
Oh, is that Moira?
Moira Callum, yeah, that was it. It was her son who sent he sent the photos for it. All right.
That's right, yeah.
All right, Wilf, good to hear from you. Wilf, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, okay.
All right, to quarter to one now, and Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate.
Very well, yes.
Good. I can't believe we're still talking about these wind turbines and so forth. A new bongo would come on straight after Julian. He always does, give his stupidity. First of all, Phil Gorn should know better than to state figures like that when the rest of us who've been dealing with this for over 3 years now, would you believe? Nearly 90% of people in the south do not want it. That's a fact.
Oh, this is we're talking about Erie Stain, not the Moor Vannon one. Stain. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, the people of Lackey and the east of the Isle of Man are voicing their opinion on that one. That's over £5,000, isn't it now? But do you remember I used to give you a reason per day, and it got up to about 35 particular reasons, right? And we've still never had any answer for your question, which is a 29p one. But just to add to all this stupidity of even still thinking of wind turbines as an alternative, just recently we've had submarines, Russian ones, spotted, and even the BBC themselves are saying they're being monitored by the military in Britain.
They think that they're
checking out all the cables. Well, like Julian said earlier, how many cables are we going to have between the Irish Sea, the Gaelic Sea, so on? We're going to be surrounded them. And just look at history itself. Russia took out about 7 cables in the Black Sea for Finland. Finland is just one great big barrier of military against Russia at the moment, right? But they're still, what's the easiest way of knocking out somebody's electricity? If you become dependent on wind turbines, those cables under the sea, but they'll be blown up in 5 minutes. And like Wilf says anyway, this, you know, one of those 35 reasons is you'd kill the fishing grounds, you would kill everything on the Isle of Man. So Wilf is so right. And the likes of Phil Gorn saying that, you know, it was stupid of him. I think he might come back and just review that one. And there was something else I can't remember, but there's so many things we shouldn't even be thinking of. My way of thinking is, if you're going to go green, let's go 24/7. It's got to be 24/7, not, you know, time to time when the wind blows, when the sun shines, so on. Nothing wrong with somebody having an odd thing on top of the roof to cut down their electricity bills and that. There's nothing wrong with that, but I remember a while back you had somebody talking about covering Sulby Dam with them. Did somebody come on and say that?
Well, it was a proposal. I don't think they were going to cover it. They were just going to send out floating solar panels.
Yeah, I think somebody, I don't know, they were talking to me and a couple of other colleagues, but they were saying that they do a lot of walking. And they said that would be an absolute disaster. You imagine walking up Druidale or somewhere like that, or wherever it is that's overlooking the dam, and all of a sudden the sun hits the top of all those, they'd blind you. They would literally blind you. If you had an array of solar panels on top of the water, absolute stupidity.
The thing is, Eddie, there are many people, and certainly the companies involved think that the disruption and the, you know, the damage to the views and this, that and the other is a price worth paying for renewable electricity.
Never. Absolutely never. There are alternative ways, and which is why we're suspicious of the government all the time. They have not even looked at nuclear. Thermal, is it the one where they drill down?
Geothermal.
And water. They haven't looked at them. They've got the nose stuck in one direction, which makes everybody in the Isle of Man suspicious. which is why at the next general election, I think people will speak with the feet. You know, they'll vote them out, as simple as that.
Okay.
But you can guarantee, I'll make a prediction, shall I, Andy, that an awful lot of our MHKs will change from green to a different colour overnight. I think they'll be looking at scrapping net zero, because if in Britain reform get in, they're going to scrap. So we'll have to go along with them. The rest of the world is drilling for gas, oil, you name it, and everything. And here's us thinking of net zero. The Isle of Man has gone mad. It used to be a very individual island, unique. Now, it's crazy.
All right. Okay, Eddie.
I hope it comes good at the next election.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. I got a message in from Ken, who just said, just remember last time at the last general election, three things that were never mentioned in manifestos that have taken up all the time in the last administration. 20 miles per hour speed limits, assisted dying, and getting rid of the bishop's vote. Nobody had them in the, apart from Anne Corlett. She had 20 miles per hour around North Douglas, and that was it. So three things have not been, and they've taken up all the time. When I say all the time, I'm obviously exaggerating, but they've taken up a lot of time and political oxygen in the last election, and they weren't in anybody's manifesto. So what will you say to the people knocking on your door, particularly if you're on the East Coast? Or if you're down south, what will you say to them regarding this? Anyway, Kent, who we got now? I think it is Alan with us now. Hi, Alan. I'm sure Alan's... is that Alan? Hello, Alan. It's not Alan. We'll find Alan and get back to you in a moment. Actually, talking of the election... talking of the election, there are obviously, with it up and coming, we went around the various constituencies to ask people exactly what it is they're bothered about. Less than 6 months to go before we go to the polls. Our reporter's been around asking people from various constituencies what they think and what they want for the next election. Today, we're in Douglas North. Residents have been critical of the current government, the roads and the horse trams. The voices of Douglas North.
Something's got to be done because the island is in a serious state at the moment. Something's got to be done, but nothing seems to be getting done. For instance, the promenade. Now, I personally am not a lover of the horse trams, but I think the horse trams should have been put on the walkway from day one. After all, we are talking about nearly the busiest road on the island, and every time somebody wants to park a car, all the traffic has to come to a halt to let them park their car. And the promenade is just a disgrace as far as I'm concerned. Anybody coming off that boat wouldn't believe it, especially if they know how much the promenade cost.
So, will you be voting this election?
No chance.
Why?
Because of the questions they're asking, it's more of, you know, how many people are travelling in from to college from out of town, how many swimming pools are open, how many electric charges do we have on the island? It's not important. We need to be getting sorting out the real issues.
No, because I'm leaving and going to New Zealand.
What made you make that decision?
A lot of things. Europe, Britain, and the way this island's being governed, I think, is parts of it as well. So, but mainly just because I'm sick of the cold weather, to be honest, after 30 years.
What are some of the issues on the island?
I just think it's poorly run. I think we spent so much on ridiculously overpriced infrastructure projects. That promenade still sticks in my craw, how much they spent on it and what they've done to it when it was probably just needed resurfacing and a bit of utilities possibly sticking under the road, and just the general, I'm not an expert, but you know, just the general way this island's run. I've been here since 86 and I'm pretty sure it's ran a lot better back in those days. Seems to be a lot of vanity projects and a lot of ministers who don't know what they're doing, and the civil service seems to have wield a mightier sword than they perhaps should, in my opinion, and they don't seem to listen to people. So yeah, that's why.
Off he goes to New Zealand. I think we found Robert. Oh, Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? I was just thinking, it's a cracking day today. I was just wondering how we could save the government money. I'm not a fan of the horse rams, by the way.
How could we save the... what's your big idea to save the government money?
Well, didn't they have... wasn't it 0.25%? Didn't they save 2 million on that save the government money or something from that guy from Laxey.
Go on.
The MHK. Do you know the MHK from Laxey?
From Garth, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Garth MHK is Daphne Kane and Andrew Smith.
Andrew Smith.
Right.
Right, I think it was Andrew Smith. So how do we save the government money?
I don't know. What do you think we should do?
Well, I think we should put solar panels on top of the NSC. I think we should put solar panels on top of the Ramsey Cottage Hospital.
Right. Well, they're going on top of the NSC. At the moment, they've got other problems at Ramsey Cottage Hospital, keeping out the vermin.
Okay.
So they are going on top of the NSC.
I just lodged my complaint that I'm not a fan of the horse trams.
OK, all right, thanks for calling today. A message in from Terry, who just said, I keep getting lots and lots of emails on my Manx.net account, or Junara, whatever it's called, and also keep getting messages from Junara saying you're still using your old security settings. Is everybody else getting bombarded with old emails on Manx.net accounts or Junara accounts? If so, why is this happening? It's asking people to use the maintenance portal below to switch to automatically advance your new settings. Should we be clicking on something when it says review the document, or, well, is all hell going to break loose? I'm so pleased. UK and Isle of Man security is strict. Thank you. The border force will keep us safe. I think leave to remain's a good idea, but it should have been done decades ago. Is the revenue coming to us? Says, well, we don't know. It's going to be £20. Can you imagine all those people coming to the TT? And suddenly, a party of five people? That's an extra £100. Regarding the wind farm, there's a lot of political pressure in Denmark to withdraw financial support for Ørsted, they said. They're already only being supported by the Danish government, said this correspondent. That's Texter 566. If the government passes the Ørsted wind farm off Laxey, it'll set a precedent that allows wind farms to be built around our full coastline, says Texter 223. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. W-I-N-T.